Well, I want to thank everyone, particularly Colin, others who invited me to come here to discuss this. Part of the reason why I'm the one making the presentation is at some point I volunteered and then volunteered again to be the chair for the Military Operations Research Society Wargaming Workshop. Hopefully this will not continue forever. Caveat on what I have to say here, and this is inspired by Stephen Downs Martin, is the weasel words, that I'm retired. I no longer officially represent the U.S. government or any other agency. I'm a contractor, so take it accordingly. I will speak to my experience prior to retiring and my role as the chair for the Wargaming Workshop, October 17th to the 19th, and I will now shamelessly plug it. For all those in uniform or serving a government as a civilian, for the United States, the UK, other allies and friends of the United States, your attendance fee for the workshop is free. We've paid for it. You'll have to find your own funding to get there, but you're invited to attend. Please talk to Colin for those in the UK to move quickly in terms of getting your credentials through the embassy in. But it's the 17th to the 19th of October, and it is in Alexandria, Virginia, which is basically within a stone's throw of the Pentagon. And I would encourage as many of you to attend as you can. I'll speak more of that later. So when tasked to put these workshops together, I had to basically make an assessment of where the wargaming community within the United States and elsewhere is. In that process, there was a practitioner summit in the March of 2016 at Carlisle, and I call it a practitioner summit for a reason, because there were all sorts of wargaming summits in which there were no wargamers in the room, kind of like having a medical summit with no doctors in the room. So the practitioner summit convened, and it was pretty much the major heads in the United States of wargaming, and our assessment, we had two problems. One, we had some, and this has already been a constant theme here, some issues of how to professionalize wargaming. It's not just anybody comes together and, oh, we'll have a wargame. There are actually practices and techniques and procedures that actually have to be used to have a professional event. That was the first part, was professionalizing it. The second part was we did not have enough master game designers available to run the number of games to keep up with the level of effort that was going on. Our own survey indicated that there was actually a lot of wargaming going on, but it was going on sub rosa because people didn't want it to be cut away. But now that there was this increasing demand, they couldn't quite keep up. So as part of the memo, or the implementation of the memos from Deputy Secretary Bob Work, he put together the Defense Wargaming Alignment Group to focus on increasing the number of quality games within the U.S., specifically about drawing out best practices from them and establishing a database. This database currently is in a classified format, not available to Five Eyes yet. They're working on that. But then the next part was that we needed additional education efforts beyond the Naval Postgraduate School and their mobile training team course and the course at the OR curriculum. And I'll now shamelessly plug for my friend, Dr. Applegate. If you are interested in that, he's got flyers on this. And he has a mobile training team that goes around the world. You've been to Bahrain a few times, I understand, providing week-long training courses on wargaming. Then we held the Moores Wargaming Workshop last year. Secretary Bob Work, Deputy Secretary of Defense Bob Work, was our closing keynote speaker. He effectively paid for the event and sponsored it. There was a lot of praise for it, you know, which is pretty edifying being the chair of it, but a full recognition that I did not, you know, one single workshop did not solve all the problems, particularly because, as we'll talk about in a little bit, this valley of death between the congratulations, you've taken the course and you now are now a mere apprentice and you have this valley of death to become a master game designer. And so we as a community need to assist people walking through that valley to become game designers. And then, of course, as I shamelessly plugged earlier, the upcoming workshop as well. In order to design the workshop, The feedback I got was, hey, I joined this one working group, but I was there seeking knowledge, not there to create or codify new knowledge within the discipline. So I needed to start designing activities within those workshops on the theme of learn by doing. But in order to design that, I had to meet people where they were and move them up to another scale. So I needed to come up with some definitions, not only of wargaming, but then also of how do we understand where people are. So you'll see here the definitions that Peter Perla had put out. And then an opportunity came up. We talk about these institutionalizing wargaming, etc. Well, Joint Publication 5, which is the United States doctrinal publications under JP 1 through 9, and JP 5 is on how to do planning, and it includes the course of action analysis, wargaming techniques, and others. Well, there was an opportunity because it was being revised, and there was this horrid definition in there saying that the ultimate war game was a modeling simulation. And so it made my life's effort to claw that out of that document and replace it with saying that wargaming and modeling simulation are two separate but complementary disciplines, and I was successful in that. And I was actually able to put this definition in here. So if you like it, well, thank you. If you don't like it, blame me. I also was able to include in it these best practices that we had examined through the I worked in the Office of Net Assessment where we have decades worth of war game data, and so I pulled out of that these best practices, and those are now in Joint Publication 5. So if you don't like them, blame me. Along the same lines, I needed some sort of structure to define where are people in this, in their continuum of being a neophyte all the way up to a master game designer. So this is why the blue banner is at the bottom, is to say, these are my terms. I threw this together because this is what I mean when I say these phrases. The Military Operations Research Society and others are not guilds. We're a loose confederation of tribes, hopefully not warring, but sometimes we do. So I want to be very clear where these came from, but I needed something to work with in order to design the material at the works at the next wargaming workshop. The key item, because we are not guilds, is the certification of being a master of craftsman or a grandmaster is, did someone pay you to put on a game? I mean, that's just the basic mechanism. Because, we aren't a guild. We don't award in that manner. So using these definitions, we now needed to use them to how do we build these development programs? How are we going to build the next generation of wargamers and master game designers? Well, the key is we need these tutorial introductory games. Yesterday's Icebreaker was a key example of that, kind of a baptism by fire for many who probably have not been wargaming before, but to play in the mega game. And we'll discuss some of the other activities. But it's designed to basically take a neophyte and turn them into a novice, to understand just the general language. What's a D6? What's a D20? Those kind of items? Card-driven? What do you mean? Just to get the basic concepts out. But again, it's learned by doing in many of these activities. And then there are the classes and certificate programs that are out there. And they're, again, designed for neophytes and novices. And if they're successful, they'll bring them up to an apprentice level. I've already spoken to the Naval Postgraduate School. If you're getting a master's degree at the Naval Postgraduate School, you will also take a course in wargaming there. The Air Force Material Command, Matt has been putting on for quite some time. The Military Operations Research Society has their own wargaming certificate program. And we are now in discussions with Virginia Tech University to offer an interdisciplinary certificate program, and in time will probably turn into an interdisciplinary master's degree program. So that's in discussions now. Dr. Peter Perla, Ed McGrady, and Una Wong are in discussions with Virginia Tech on that right now. We also, in terms of the developing program, is a bit of a pail of cold water for those who've completed those courses. If you've completed those courses, the MTT, the Naval Postgraduate School Material Command or the Moore Certificate. Congratulations, you are now a mere apprentice. It's unfortunate, but it's true. The vast amount of material that's out there within the wargaming community, I mean, in terms of just number of games, we could easily fill this room of them. And so the methods and techniques that are available out there is vast. And it takes a long time to survey what's all out there and determine what's appropriate to the game design that you're doing. And so in some respects, those who've completed those certificate programs as mere apprentices need to be careful about being out there in the wild without support of and advice of people who are experienced in this. But then there's the catch-22. How do I become experienced if no one's going to bring me on as an experienced player? So one of the things that we have is these community practices, such as the Moore's community practice. It meets via telephone with an accompanying PowerPoint twice a month. There's the Navy Wargaming virtual community practice. Paul Weber is in charge of that. Connections, of course, is an informal program where we do these game labs, et cetera, so people can test out their games. And then there's such organizations as the American Academy for Strategic Education. It's a nonprofit foundation. It teaches the use of wargaming in a strategic deployment process where the two sides have five-year development programs where you identify a new platform or new platforms you may want to bring on. You develop them, and your goal is to shape each other as well as the environment over time as you determine what you're going to invest in, what you're going to deploy, and when do you reveal that kind of information. And we use game process techniques to introduce those concepts to folks. A new effort that is just in its primordial stage is the Game Designer Circle. Now, for those in the hobby games, you're well familiar with this. You grow a homebrew game, and then you go test it with your friends. And I'm playing a gaming group full of engineers and operations analysts, and we are actually pretty brutal to each other. But it makes for a better game. Those of you who are authors know them as the writer circles. My friend Yuna Wong is part of one. They call themselves the Vicious Circle. But it hones the games. It makes the games that much better. This is the structure to this year's Wargaming Workshop. Again, the theme is learn by doing. The first two working groups are the traditional working groups of Moore's, which is to codify, bring together, and develop new information. And those are really designed for the master game designers. And one of the chairs, Stephen Downs Martin, in the working group two, is pretty particular about who he's going to let into that group. There'd be master game designers, or those who are very experienced with the analytic process which we are trying to incorporate wargaming into. You know, how is wargaming part of a larger analytic process of campaign analysis, operations analysis, and other techniques? So those first two working groups are traditional working groups really designed for the people who are the experts in the field. But then we need seminars and games to do the learn by doing effort to bring up the level of knowledge of those apprentices, journeymen, et cetera, that need it. One of which feedback was enormous was adjudication. I need to know what adjudication technique to use in what circumstance and what's the most appropriate. And our friends at the Naval War College have stepped up to provide that seminar on adjudication. The Army War College bringing their folks in on an effort that was highly successful last year, which is on red teaming, specifically on framing the problem. Wargaming may not be the appropriate tool to reach for, and so any analyst needs to understand, how do I frame the problem? What's the actual question being asked? You know, the classic sponsor says, I don't know what I want, but I won't be happy till I get it, and your job is to actually figure out what it is that they want. Wargaming is a tool, but not the tool you should automatically reach for, and so that's what this red teaming effort is. And then there's the five different war games. Wargame 1 is designed for the neophyte and the novice, where you're going to play games such as Aftershock, forgetting the commercial game disease one, Pandemic, and then there's Wings of War and Drive on Mets. The goal was to be introductory games to just walk people who have no experience through four different commercial games that are well designed, well play tested, and each have a different theme. Aftershock is a semi-cooperative game. Pandemic is a fully cooperative game. Wings of War, well, you're trying to shoot each other down. Drive a Metz, you're trying to kill each other. But the key was to introduce different kinds of game styles to expand the knowledge base, again, learned by doing. The Matrix gaming, Tom ran an excellent course last year on, ran three Matrix games, and then he allowed the players to design their own fourth Matrix game. Unfortunately, Tom will not be able to get a kitchen pass to come to the United States, so Ed McGrady has volunteered to take that on, and he'll be, and I'll shamelessly plug, he'll be using the Matrix game kit that Distel helped him put together. There's Project Cassandra, Yuna Wong and I will be putting that on. It is a series of structured analytic techniques, red teaming style, in which the players build the terms of reference for the game, and then we play the game in a Matrix style after the after that process. The Joint Wargaming Analysis Model, this is the one used by the Center for Army Analysis. They'll be demonstrating that. And then there's the RAND Corporation Hegemony game, which is basically a Baltic pre-conflict type of scenario. Again, the theme here is learn by doing. Okay, last year, there was some feedback to the UK team here on certain hostilities, the phrases were hostilities to seminar gaming. So I'm going to go through a few things here, and I'm going to, if you have some ire, I want to make sure you direct it at the right person for the right reason, and here I am. But you need to understand my perspective. I came from the Office of Net Assessment, and the type of gaming that I do is focused on exploratory games. And then another shameless plug, the March issue of Phalanx Magazine has my article that lays some of these things out, in which I do this 2x3 matrix of, you know, types and styles of games. For what purpose? Why are you doing the game? The games that I do are for exploration, particularly because my task is to look out 30 years in the future and see what the security environment is going to be like. So that's where I'm coming from, and that's where these comments come from. I then introduced the concept of the continuum of gaming, where you go from a very creative but less rigorous format and over time move down to the right. Why? Because as a naval officer on a ship, you know, leading my ship, when I receive orders, the orders say, do this with this, my ship, in order to do this. And for the message to be a reasonable length, it has to follow certain doctrinal terms, right? Because otherwise the message just gets enormous, or it's those PowerPoint things that clog up the download rates, right? So it's do this with this in order to do this, in doctrinal terms. You cannot take these airy-fairy general concepts that many of us have encountered from the conceptual development folks out there. That's not a transmittable message. The guy on the receiving end does not understand what you mean. You have to go down this continuum of gaming until it's a rigid Kriegspiel. Oh, by the way, I'm also a member of the military modeling simulation community. When I design a model, that means the interactions between the opposing sides are fully developed, a rigid Kriegspiel. And the decisions that those entities within that modeling simulation are also fully developed. If you have not gone down this continuum before jumping into a modeling simulation, I have some serious questions of the validation of your model. So this, again, the aspects of where I'm coming from when I say these things. So there is a need to move down this continuum of gaming, particularly if we really are going to save lives and save money as we claim we wish to do. So this is my challenge. There's a lot of seminar games out there, and many of them are not games. They're just box sets. A bunch of guys and gals sitting around a table with no structure. None of those elements that I talked about the, you know, what good gaming should include, you know, the competition, outcomes, etc. It's just simply not there. Seminar games are good if structured, so they're not box sets, but good analysis requires us to move down that continuum. And so that's my challenge to the gaming community. If we claim to be professionals, then we have to introduce rigor. Quite often we encounter new concepts, cyber, etc., that need to be fully explored. And so we start at the left-hand side, but we often have to get off top dead center and move down to the right. And we should design our games in a series of games to accomplish that. Now, I acknowledge that this often takes decades. Well, I worked in a place where we did that, and it took decades to do it, but it was necessary to be done. And the fruition of some of that fruit was what many people call the revolution in military affairs. I call the precision strike regime environment that we live in today. So if you have some ire about seminar gaming, there's my reason why, and I am the person in which to direct your ire, and I look forward to your discussions, our questions later, or perhaps different kinds of conversations after we're done this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.